All right. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. Send greetings to you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon your word. Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us wisdom and understanding, open our hearts to you, Lord, to your word and your life, Father. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, John chapter 16. It says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." In the King James, it says, "These things I have spoken to you that you may not be offended." And what I want to talk about this morning is being offended. And we talk about forgiveness. And the root of unforgiveness, or the root of needing forgiveness, is an offense or being offended. And this word he speaks to us this morning, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling," or offenses. And then let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." And then Luke chapter 7, verse 23 says, "Blessed is he who does not take offenses at me." Kind of looking at some different verses just to get some then Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come." In King James it says that offenses will come. "But woe to him through whom they come." Okay, it is inevitable that offenses or stumbling blocks will come. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that you are going to get offended. If you want to be, you are going to stumble if you allow yourself to. Somebody's going to do something or say something that's going to go against you or hurt your feelings or make you mad. Right there, at that point, it's not their problem anymore, no matter what they've done. It's your problem. Because no matter what they've done to you, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad they've hurt you, no matter how ugly they've been to you, at that point, you can either choose to let it offend you or cause you to stumble or make yourself fall or you get mad or you get upset. That's all on you then. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. As soon as they do something to you, the ball is in your court. If you're playing tennis or volleyball, when someone hits the ball to you, as soon as the ball goes over the net, it's your responsibility to get it back over the net. And it doesn't matter if they're standing right there and they just slam it down your throat. it's your responsibility to get the ball back over, or you lose. Offenses will come. It's going to happen. But it's your job to take those offenses and respond the way you're supposed to. If you let those offenses hurt you, if you let those offenses get to you, it will destroy you. And it's not their problem anymore. Jesus said, they're going to come, and woe to the person who hurts you. But He's not telling you so that you're worried about them. He's telling you this so that you'll worry about yourself when those offenses do come. So that you'll take heed and take care that those things don't destroy you. Not because of what they've done, but because how you've responded to them. A long time ago, whenever I first began preaching, an old man told me, he said, if you're going to follow the Lord, the first thing you need to do is develop skin like an alligator. You need a soft heart, but you're going to have some thick skin. And I've appreciated that thought. And he didn't really realize, I don't think, what he was saying. But what he was saying is offenses are going to come, but you're going to have to learn to deal with them. You're going to have to learn. I think he knew that, but what he was pointing out was just what Jesus was saying here. We do need to have a tender heart, because when offenses come, we've got to treat people and deal with that just like Jesus did. Jesus was offended at no one. Let's turn to John chapter 8. I'm going to read this, verse 1 to, we'll read on down here to 11. We've heard this story all of our lives. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote in the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. You know, we've heard all kinds of stories about this. Building doctrines and defending doctrines and tearing down doctrines about this. But what I want to look at is Jesus in this. Okay, here's people who caught someone sinning. And you know what? It offended them. Because someone would sin. How many times do we get mad because someone sins? And it doesn't even have anything to do with us. But we get all upset because someone sinned. Makes us mad to see someone sin. What did Jesus do here? They took it upon their own hands and said, okay, it's time to stone her. She sinned. They were offended at her being a sinner. Now, I don't know all the motives. There's all kinds of things going on here. But the point I'm bringing out is how Jesus responded to all of this. It took some offense or some anger and being mad at this woman to want to stone her because she had sinned. And they were offended at it. And so, being offended is not only when someone does something to me wrong, but when someone might do something wrong to God, and I get offended at it. You're still offended. And the problem is you've still stumbled. How did Jesus treat this? Was he offended because he heard about a woman sinning? Did he get all upset and irate because he heard about someone sinning? No. The sin was against him. The others, it wasn't. The others didn't pick up any stones because what he told them was, how in the world do you want to kill this person and you have sin in your own life or you've sinned yourself? Okay, yeah, she's guilty. Now, whoever has not sinned, you get your stones out and throw them. In other words, I could do that. I could do that. Jesus, speaking of himself. But any of you want to? Any of you without sin? Pick up the stone and throw it. You throw the first one. In other words, we can get offended at how bad someone else is. But somewhere along the line, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same shape. And me getting upset about someone else, we've got an attitude of offense. What does it take to get offended if someone commits a sin? Oh, they've committed a sin. What happens if we have an attitude about someone else committing a sin? Do we really see ourselves as we really are? I think this is where it gets to the heart of what it means where there's none righteous. We know that. You know, but we use that verse, there's none righteous, so I can do whatever I want to. The problem is if we really believe that and if that really affects us, that it's not about our works or our effort that's going to impress God. It's because we see ourselves just like that other person is. So we have no room to say, she must die or he must die for his sin. Because it's only by grace and by mercy that God has forgiven us. So it's not about this relationship with God, this grace and mercy that we're trying to work our way to heaven. It's about how we see everybody else. Because if we've tasted mercy because we know that we're sinners, then we can extend it. But if we have not tasted that mercy, we can be as religious as all get out. We can be as strict on the law and the rules as all get out. But if we haven't tasted that, we have nothing to extend as far as mercy or forgiveness is gone, is counted. We have nothing to give because there's nothing there. We have to find it and know it ourselves. Jesus, this woman had sinned. And what was his attitude? I do not condemn you. Go sin no more. He didn't say that go and sin no more because I'm going to be watching you. And I've got my little book out and I'm going to write it down if you do. And then you'll be right back here and I'll start throwing rocks at you. He wasn't offended. He wasn't offended because it really, as far as he was concerned in this life, the offenses weren't going to hurt him. He lived his life. He lived his life. And he didn't let an offense cause him to stumble. You know, we think that stumbling is falling into sin is just going out and doing something bad. But right here is what Jesus warns us not to be offended at or not to stumble at. When somebody else does something bad, that's where most religious people get tripped. And they stumble and they fall, but it doesn't appear like they fail because it looks holy to pick up the rocks and point out somebody else's problems. Offenses. We need to have thick skin whenever it's about somebody else, just like we have thick skin, just like it's us. The root of unforgiveness is an offense. I don't know how many people I know that somebody said something, somebody looked at them the wrong way, somebody just didn't see them and wave at them, and people get offended. They get hurt. They get their little feelings hurt because somebody didn't perform the way they thought they should. You know what happens? They take that little offense and they go home and they feed it and then they burp it and then they change its diaper and then they feed it and they burp it, and they change its diaper, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And then soon, they're just plain mad about what that person did. And in reality, that person had nothing to do with their offense. I don't know how many cases I know of that. That people are just looking for some offense to pamper. They want to be a victim. They want to be a victim. They want to be hurt. Because they can blame somebody else for their problems. And so they pamper these thoughts. And they let their imagination grow and grow and grow and grow until the person who didn't wave at them, didn't look at them, or might have just said something that wasn't even pertaining to them, becomes an absolute monster in their own imagination. Then all they have to do is to find somebody else that didn't get waved at just right about that same person. And they get together, and then you have a horrible monster. Because they can just feed on each other and let it grow and grow and grow. And the problem is, you let all that happen, and they turn someone into a monster. The only person that it hurts is the one who's feeding the monster. The person that's hurt, that's the thing about unforgiveness. People can harbor unforgiveness towards someone for years and years and years. And the person that supposedly needs the forgiveness, don't even know about it. Don't lose 1 minute of sleep about it. But the other person, it torments himself night and day about that other person. Offenses will come. They're going to happen. Sometimes we live such sheltered lives that we don't ruffle any feathers or don't get our feathers ruffled. And we need to learn. That's why I kind of pick at some of you children and some of you. It's because just to toughen your skin up just a little bit. So what if someone teases you a little bit or laughs at you? So what if you get joked about sometimes? It isn't because we're trying to make fun of you. It's because we're trying to teach you how to not take yourself so seriously. You're not quite as perfect and important as you think you are. And if you get offended or get upset about it, it's because your attitude about yourself is all wrong. Not because of what somebody else said about you. Now, that don't give everybody a license to just go around hurting people. It's not what it's about. But we don't have to take ourselves quite so seriously, because we're not that important as far as that goes. One of the biggest things that people have problem with is forgiving themselves. Forgiving themselves. You know, we can kind of let it go when somebody else does it, but sometimes we can't whenever it's ourselves. You know what that is? Because we actually think that we were better than that. That we really are not that way. That we're actually above doing something like that. And so we can't forgive ourselves because we really shouldn't have done that anyway. Because I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. And so we build this case in ourselves that I'm really above that. So I really don't need forgiveness. But the guilt's still there. We've just kind of camouflaged it and covered it all up with this self-importance or this self-goodness that we actually have. Instead of humbling ourselves and realizing I'm capable of a lot worse than that. And I need mercy and I need forgiveness. I want to read a verse in Titus. I think I'll read chapter 3 to 1 to 11 again. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. This is what Paul was writing about himself. He saw who he really was. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, what happened? Here's this man that's full of all this evil, But then the kindness and God's love for mankind appeared. He found forgiveness. He saw what he was, and he actually tasted forgiveness. He forgave himself, and he received what God was giving him. Forgiveness. That's hard for us to receive. Forgiveness. But yet we see Jesus, he is giving it to everyone that will take it. And yet we somehow doubt that he will forgive us. You know, some of us have done wrong to each other, and a man forgives us. But then we don't believe God can. I'm going to tell you, if a man can forgive and completely forget some wrong you've done, you better believe God can. But pride keeps us from taking it. It keeps us from... And I'm not talking about just, oh yeah, God will forgive us, and just deceive ourselves and just go feel happy-go-lucky because God forgave me. I'm talking about real forgiveness. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, there we're talking about that again, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When we receive this forgiveness, we leave those things. We turn from them. We don't want them anymore. We've found something better. That's not works to now obey where we used to disobey. That's not going to save us. It's His mercy that saved us. But true evidence of that mercy and acquiring that forgiveness, you forgive others. True evidence of being rebellious and disobedient and hateful is whenever I've tasted this forgiveness, I want the opposite of that. We had all of that other stuff, and being righteous in all of that stuff won't save us. Being holy in all of that stuff won't save us. His mercy saves us. And when we find the forgiveness, we find the peace and the joy, and then we have something to give to someone else. If we just have holiness, when someone else comes along and sins, we run out and start digging up rocks. And it appears holy, and it looks righteous, but it's without the touch of the forgiveness. It's without the touch of the mercy. Verse 6, whom He poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior. He poured it out on us. His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wanting us to be holy. Because we've tasted His mercy. We received of it. So that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage. Have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Okay, there goes your works out. You know, but once you've tasted this, you're going to be careful to engage in good deeds. That's not the works that He hates. The works that He hates is these self-righteous acts of unmerciful, unkind holiness. But those who've tasted it will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and big long Bible debates, oh wait, disputes about the law, they are unprofitable and worthless. All your theologies, all your ideas in this self-righteous state are worthless. If there's any works that are worthless, it's years and years of Bible study just waiting to pick up rocks when someone offends or someone sins. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law. You know, when you first start reading the Bible, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to just go out and show somebody else what you know. Try to show them how you know more than they do. It's useless. That's not what it's about. Be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a fractious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Self-condemned. Why is he acting so holy? Why is he got to figure out all the newest Bible verse? Why is he, can't he be content with just following the Lord? Why does he have to have the next newest thing that causes division? Why does he have to go seek after this gift or that gift? The heart of it, he's self-condemned. And he's trying to make up. He hasn't received the mercy and the forgiveness. He doesn't know the Spirit of Jesus, that those people didn't hurt me. I've got to take care of myself. I can't get all mad at everybody else's sin because I'm in the same boat. And it's only by God's mercy. It's not because I quit doing wrong and started doing right. It's because of mercy. And that's why I quit doing wrong and started doing right. There's nothing to brag about. There's grace. The song we sung about this morning, it talked about humans being able to sing this song, the singing of His praises. Because we know His mercy. We know of His goodness. Not because you got everything right. And I believe we ought to be doing everything right to the best of our ability. And you all have the children, you've got a foundation where you can just go on right there with that. But it's got to be with the Spirit of Jesus. Not just because you're holy. Because you've been kept from all of the evils of the world. It's because you found mercy yourself. You found grace yourself. And you love the Lord because He's good and right. And you do good because you've tasted that mercy. Not because you're trying to impress God or men. Because you're condemned of yourself. Pride keeps us from just humbling ourselves and taking the very gift that God has offered to us. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share? Right.
Mighty God!